Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Level Up Human, the comedy science podcast, souping up the Homo sapien. Welcome to Level Up Human, the live podcast show where we try to make humans better. Like, not in a self-help book section kind of way. No, we're talking with spanners and radioactive spiders and that kind of thing. More genetic engineering, less narcissistic use of Pinterest. That's what we're kind of after. With the help of our guests and our live studio audience, we want to develop a design spec for human 2.0. Let's welcome our guests. On my left, we have Nick Hawes. You're a robotic scientist, yes?
I am indeed, yes.
No, you're not a robotic scientist. You're
no,
a scientist
no.
How would we know?
Because we're really bad at making robots right now. So the fact that I haven't fallen off my chair is a sign that I'm not a robot.
I love that you said we're as well, devolving responsibility.
Yeah, it's the community. I'm a scientist.
I like that.
These people in the audience are part of my team. That's why.
Welcome. Geeks United. Here we are. We are also joined by Daniel Ward, a stand-up comedian, writer, and the former economic researcher at the South Korean Embassy. So presumably she was there to calculate the budget for Ferrero Rocher. And our final panelist, we have got video games journalist Cam Robinson. That's right, he's the Trevor McDonald of pressing buttons really, really fast. Please give them all a warm, warm welcome. Okay, let's get straight into this. To give you a kind of idea of what's going on in the real world at this very minute, before we leap into the realms of the future, our panel have brought along some suggestions in the form of news stories. So let's start with you, Cam. What's grabbed you?
Well, skin that feels. Now, before you say we already have that, well, yeah, I don't mean for us, though. I mean, there's been this huge... There's always incremental breakthroughs when it comes to prosthetics, and that's always what I look at when I get really excited about making myself better, is how can I replace this stupid human arm, which gets bruised and is sore and tired, and I've got a sore wrist at the moment from, like, gym and stuff. Yeah. How can I improve this I know, but did I mention I go to the gym? No. How can I improve that with, like, a robot limb? And there's a really interesting article that I was reading all about how scientists have developed this material and hooked it up to brain cells of mice. And using carbon nanotubes, it's always carbon nanotubes, this can now detect pressure, relative pressure, convert that into electric signal, and feed that back to the mouse brain cell. So giving this, and this is, sorry, embedded in this kind of artificial skin. So now giving the ability for touch, because that's obviously one of the things that most prosthetic limbs that you get today don't have. They don't have that ability to give that force feedback. So that's really exciting. So, you know, step however many years down the line, that's one step closer to getting a better arm, right? Because you need to have that sense of touch.
And along the way, somebody's bound to turn that into an internet sex toy.
Well, of course.
Because it means you can have effectively your skin elsewhere as well, surely. If you can.
God, yeah, you could. That'd be kind of strange, though.
That was awed silence from our audience as you started seriously contemplating that. Match.com will be on to it next thing.
This has gone downhill quickly.
Yeah, very quickly. To that end, Danielle, what have you come up with?
I think this is quite lovely, actually. Disney have been working with a company called Open Bionics to make prosthetics for children And they've come up with three different prosthetic arms. One is an Iron Man arm, one is a Luke Skywalker arm, and the other one is an Elsa from Frozen arm. I don't know what that one does. He hasn't got that many powers. But it's so kids, rather than if they need a prosthetic limb, rather than it being something clunky and ugly, it's now something really cool that they get to show off to their friends.
But presumably it doesn't come with killer laser death rays or things like
that. Well, not until they're 14.
Okay. Yeah. It's good that we have these standards. In the US, it would be very, very different. So, Nick, what about you?
And actually, it relates to the US stuff being different. So I'm really excited about autonomous machines in our lives. And one of the places it's going to happen soonest is autonomous cars, so self-driving cars. And most manufacturers are slowly rolling out these prototype cars they can test here and there. But Tesla have just released an over-the-air software update, which is not the most sexy thing. So you get updates on your phones all the time, you get app updates. They've just updated their car OS, their car operating system, and it's turned it from a car into a self-driving car overnight. So two of the models of Teslas can now autonomously drive on the motorway. They can autonomously change lane just by flicking a switch up and down, and they can autonomously park themselves. Yesterday, they could do none of that. And so the exciting thing is both the improving humans by having autonomous cars, but also the fact that in the future, your car will suddenly change its behavior through a software update. And as a computer scientist, that fills me with excitement.
Can this be used for evil?
As much as anything can be used for evil. You know, I'm very much in the view that AI and robotics are just a tool. And if evil people use those tools, then yes, they can be used for evil. Like an Elsa arm, right? That could be used for evil in some in some context. She can shoot ice. That's her power.
You've spoiled it for me now. I haven't seen it yet.
Seen constantly, surely. Yeah.
Okay, well, everyone, that's the kind of stuff that is already out there. But we want to look a bit further ahead. We want to try and make humans that bit significantly better. So each of our panel have made suggestions. We'll kick off with you guys, and then we're going to go to the audience. So back to you, Danielle. What do you think? What would be your pitch? What would you like to see humans doing in the future?
I would like humans to have armor plating like an armadillo. Yes, you laugh, but this is inspired by that guy who shot an armadillo and the bullet ricocheted off and shot him.
What?
This is brilliant.
I've read about this. This is true, isn't it?
Absolutely brilliant, yeah. So imagine how great it would be if we all had armor plating. Retractable, probably.
I mean, I don't...
A bit clunky and unsexy most of the time.
I don't know about you, but I don't get shot daily.
No.
Well, but you are obviously not a man of like colour in America, are you?
That is true.
If you look like an armadillo, obviously this happens as well, though. So you're just inviting trouble if you don't have armadillo armour.
I think it would be great. You'd be, you know, really hard.
Could it be selective? So I stub my toe a lot, and I stand on Lego a lot. So if I could have some kind of protective, just for feet, that would work.
You know what you should do?
I mean,
you
shoes.
Put some shoes on, yeah.
We're thinking the same thing there, I think.
Then why aren't we just wearing armour?
I'm all for using armadillos for virtually anything, because they are amazing. The only downside to armadillos, they're the only creature in humans known to have leprosy.
Oh.
So, yeah. So there's perhaps a downside to being overly armadillo-y.
But we already could get leprosy. It's not like you get double leprosy if you've got an armadillo.
But then your scales will fall off rather than your fingers and things, which is not great either.
Oh, I haven't thought it through. Can I have my second pitch, which is glow-in-the-dark genitals?
No, we're doing that.
Not really.
Actually, if it is, go ahead. Could we do a quick survey in the audience? Who would like glow-in-the-dark genitals?
Come on.
Because again, this is actually something that's already available in the form of glow-in-the-dark condoms do exist. So there is a market out there for that, you'd think. And you can make all sorts of, because genetic engineering is allowing us to make all sorts of creatures glow in the dark and all sorts of things glow in the dark. There's a protein from jellyfish called green fluorescent protein.
Yeah.
And they've made glow in the dark cats. So I'd rather have that than the genitals, but, and make your own pun there if you wish. But there's a, this is possible theoretically. We could do this.
But would we want to?
Is this for like drunken liaisons in the dark bedroom, and so just make it a bit more efficient?
You know when you can't find your penis?
All the time, every day.
For those situations.
Right.
There could be a benefit. I can't think of any actual one. Okay, I think we should move on.
Well, I just think, you know, for fun. You don't have I'm just thinking,
what,
you know,
color?
Come on, guys, let's shake it up. It can't all be about, you know, making humans better intellectually or in terms of strength. Sometimes you just want a little bit of whimsy. Glow in the dark flaps.
Sold. Nick, what about you? Oh, actually, hold on. I have to reiterate, because we will be voting on these later. So that was glow-in-the-dark flaps. Seriously. Glow-in-the-dark genitalia and armadillo armor.
Combined.
At the same, why not? Yeah. Do you know what?
I just really like armadillos. I used to volunteer at London Zoo, and the armadillos were my favourite animals.
Really?
They're really inquisitive.
Out of all the things to choose at London Zoo as well, you went for armadillos?
They're really cool.
Why?
They were just really inquisitive. There was one called Jack and one called Marion. They had to keep them separate because they were brother and sister, and but they just still tried to do it, you know.
Because they were so inquisitive.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, these were animals that that you take out and show to kids, so they were the ones that had been handled quite a lot. But on my first day, I met the armadillos. They were really lovely. Met the meerkats. One of them bit me on the leg. I had to go to A&E. Yeah, those adverts are wrong. They are not that friendly, and they don't wear smoking jackets.
And you wouldn't trust them to run a reliable web business either, would you? Let's be honest.
No.
Okay, so that's armadillo armor and glow-in-the-dark genitals, possibly. Nick, what have you got as a suggestion?
So I'm going with automated travel for everyone. So autonomous cars, autonomous taxis, autonomous buses, everywhere. So we waste a lot of our lives driving, sitting in queues, high death rates from car accidents, people being run over. If we automate everything, then we get the intelligence of computers, of artificial intelligence, making everything more efficient, using less energy. It's easier, so instead of owning a car, you just, you know, press an app on your phone, the car appears, it takes you to work. During the day when the cars aren't taking people to work, they can take old people around to the shops. Total utilization of transport makes the human race better.
Because the thing which is most useful about that is there's something, I hope I got this start right, but something like 90% of cars right now are doing nothing.
Yeah.
So we don't need as many of them if we really think of it like that. If we just use the ones we had more efficiently, that'd be better for the environment, better for everything. You say all automated travel then, are you really suggesting that we all get Segways?
Yeah, but like little two-person things maybe. It's got to be a bit of social. So one of the reasons I didn't go for teleportation, which is that would be the kind of extreme version of automated travel, is that it's quite nice to travel somewhere, and it's quite nice to travel with someone else. So I want to get some of the process still there, but I don't want to have to own a car or have an MOT or clean up child sick from the back and things like that.
Do you get really excited by the DLR?
Is it bad to say yes?
No.
I've only been on it once, and it was last week, and I was
really?
Like, this is.
Did you sit at the front?
Well, I didn't know it was a thing until I was on it. I was like, looking around, going, oh, this is kind of automated.
My
cool.
First time in London, I went to be the driver of the DLR as in sit at the front.
Yeah.
You know, it is
it's
a thing.
It's fun, it's still fun. I'm 37, it's still a lot of fun for me.
I'm still not sold in the Segways, though, because if you see people out using them, it's like watching a kind of organic Dalek not then, building up the curve.
But then automated. So, I mean, you're driving those things, and part of the ridiculousness is looking really serious while toppling on top of this box. But if you just had... So they're testing these cars in Milton Keynes that are like half a smart car. They're just two people
half
could sit
in. Half a stupid car.
And they would take you from A to B, as long as A to B doesn't involve any complex manoeuvres in between at the moment. And, you know, it's quicker than walking.
And Milton Keynes is not exactly known for not having complicated manoeuvres.
Yeah.
It's one big roundabout.
It is.
Now,
I
was reading about automated cars, and saying that you would have to program into it whether in the event of an accident the car saves your life.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or
10 other people.
Yeah.
So this is a classic moral dilemma. So you've got... and there was some, I think it was in the Institute of Economics in Toulouse or something. They went and surveyed people. Well, they surveyed people, mechanical Turks on Amazon. So these are people who are paid to sit around and answer questions. So I'm not sure they're representative of the whole of society. But they said, well, we need to deal with the ethics of autonomous cars in advance of selling them. And so they asked people, should you have to make a decision? You know, how would you want your car to behave? There's a crowd of 10 people across the road. And by some fluke, you're in this situation where you've only got two options. Either you plow into the 10 people, or you hit a wall and you die.
Are they all wearing armadillo armor?
They're not. But it's dark and their genitals are glowing. okay. It's like cat's eyes, right? It's fine.
Don't ruin cat's eyes for me, Jesus.
Where were we?
You'll put your cat's eyes out for that. That's not
good. So, and of course, everyone... So the kind of utilitarian approach is you say, well, the good of the many outweighs the good of one. So of course, I want my car to crash to kill me, not the 10 people. But of course, all the people said, well, that's how I want everyone else's cars to behave, but I want my car to kill them, and I want to survive. So
capitalist cars.
Yeah.
Wow.
These are the moral dilemmas. So they were asking, you know, what is the makeup of the crowd that changes it? And it's like, you know, if there are kids in the car, would you hit a group of adults rather than kill the car? Or if there are obese people in the group, does that make a difference? You know, their life expectancy is lower, so we'll mow them down. I mean, if you haven't heard of tram car dilemmas, these things are great. These are things that are kind of classic moral dilemmas where people pose these situations and ask, you know, who should live or die?
And it means you won't need an airbag, you'll just need a four-year-old in your car as well. Like everybody traveling along with safety children to make sure that the car chooses them over the others. This has got dark, man.
Yeah.
All right, in that case, our pitch number three is Nick with automated travel. Cam, we're over to you.
All right, so because my kind of background in video games, I thought I'd steal an idea from a video game rather than coming up with it on my own. In the video game Deus Ex, does anyone know that game? Play it? One person waving at me? Good, yeah, here we go. So in that game, you have lots of different augmentations that help you be all stealthy and do the game, but also one thing you have is elbow blades. And I think that elbow blades can actually be quite useful. Now in the game, they're mainly for stabbing people. I'm not advocating the stabbing of people with elbow blades unless you really have to. but excuse me.
What else are you going to use?
What are you going to use?
Well, you say that, but
cutting vegetables.
Think about how many times in your life you need to cut, again, not people, things, right? How useful would it be to just have like a blade in your elbow? You're preparing dinner, wear the fancy knives, no need. Elbow blade, you know?
You're thinking that this sounds ridiculous. There's a creature out there called the horror frog, also known as the Wolverine frog. It doesn't have any claws, but if it gets attacked, it breaks its toe bones, pushes the toe bones through its skin, and uses those as claws.
Pretty much that, yeah.
So nature has already got there, man. We've got a means.
Right, so we've already got proof of principle. So, but I mean, how many times are you greeted with situations when just be able to, like, you know, you don't get that label tag off the new clothes, you know, just, right? I think it could be very useful.
Wouldn't carrying a pair of scissors do the job?
Yeah, but you can't run with them. That's the problem.
Why only blades? Why are you not going whole hog and getting like Swiss Army elbows?
Oh God, that is better, isn't it? Yeah, that's much better. All right, that one. That's my new idea. Swiss Army elbows. Yeah.
Deus Ex Swiss Army elbows.
There we go.
Okay, so our panel have come up there with four ideas. It is now our wonderful audience here at the Science Museum's turn. You guys have been flicking through the ideas that we've got here.
Mm. So,
if you wouldn't mind, if some of you put your names on, we may come to you and Rachel will record them. Is that okay? All right. So why don't we start with you, Nick? Was there anything that grabbed your eyes?
Okay, yeah.
Was there one?
With the name, yes.
Yes.
So Damien Gauci?
Is Damien here?
Okay, so we should install unisex toilets everywhere. So women shouldn't have to wait or shouldn't have to queue and just use men's bathrooms.
We've gone from elbow blades to the suggestion that we should put unisex toilets everywhere.
But there was a second part, which is to increase empathy between the sexes. And this would basically do away with all forms of violence, domestic violence, you know, competition, just by sharing the same bathrooms. I think that's excellent.
Has anyone seen Ally McBeal?
Yes.
Did it end happily? Because they have unisex toilet, don't they?
But only in one building, not everywhere.
Okay, yeah, okay, then we're taking that forward. What do you guys think?
Isn't that improving toilets rather than people?
No, but that's the argument. That if people are forced to share more intimate spaces, they get a better appreciation of other people's needs, they become more empathic, war ceases.
This is not true, though, right?
Just because there's something in between.
On the tube, you're forced to share each other's space. Like, I have spent about half of my life recently inside an armpit by the feeling of it.
Well, don't worry, because I have a suggestion here, which will fix that.
Okay.
And this one might be the best beginning to an intro ever, or an idea ever, and it simply says, magnetic feet. Coupled with oppositely charged escalators, so people stand to the left. That was from Tom. Sorry, Tom, I read that for you.
So hold on, magnetic feet. So do you know your automated travel?
Yeah.
Can we couple these two suggestions together?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we have moving magnets underneath the ground? Like, you know those kind of toys that you had as a kid?
Yeah. But then that, you still have to have, the road would have to know where you're going to automate the travel.
So we need a smart road as well. A previous suggestion in one of our podcasts that we could couple with this was, I think it was the introduction to of fast moving lanes on pavements, like an overtaking lane on pavements, so we could deal with slow people.
So I used to live in Edinburgh during the festival. We need that. Like, that was awful. This should be like a tourist lane, a slow lane, and then the people have to get to work lane.
But this is the opposite of this suggestion. So what you're now saying is we should segregate everyone.
But then when they go to the toilet, they'll be fine.
Yeah. Everyone has a different agenda, has to live in a different space.
Is there still cubicles in this toilet? Or is it just like a big hole that we all share? If we're talking about getting intimate.
It depends which country we're in. But in the UK, cubicles.
We're too shy.
France.
That's how I was just thinking.
From my childhood. Bad camping experiences.
I'm thinking more about this magnetic feet, so forcing you to be in the right place in the escalator, because I'm from Northern Ireland. And when I
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Go home, I have to remember the people in Northern Ireland think that escalators are rides. So that's as exciting as it gets for us in some places. So they stand on both sides and enjoy it, like they approach it. They forget the point is to speed you up, perhaps. I actually would like it. Could we not just have escalators everywhere, like moving pavements? And then, like, in the middle, you could do the most awesome high five as people are going at speed past each other.
The travelator at Waterloo is more fun than it should be.
There's a travelator?
You know, when you when you're changing from the Bakerloo line to the Jubilee line, it's like a long travelator.
I don't think I've ever done this. I thought travelators were in Gladiators and nothing else. No? No? Cool.
Really good.
Cool.
All right,
it's
magnetic
the most
feet.
Fun I've ever had. At Waterloo Station.
Actually, in that case, can we add to our list? So that's there was unisex toilets everywhere there. There was magnetic feet. And why not just travelators everywhere?
Yeah.
I've got a feeling we are getting less and less exercise in our future here.
Yeah, let's just take our feet off and put big wheels on there.
You can say that in this podcast.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Foot wheels, we're going for it. To that end, Danielle, what grabbed you from our audience? Was there a person there?
Yeah, it's John Gulledge.
Can we come to you, John? Where are you?
I really like your suggestion, John.
I said that I'd give people gills.
You'll give people gills. Why did you like this, Daniel?
Because I'm really, really scared of open water. Partly for drowning, partly for Kraken reasons. I'm so I'm fascinated but terrified by the deep sea. One of my other things that I wanted to come up with was one of them lights like the fish have. I thought that would be fun as well. But glow in the dark genitals seemed to cover that.
I think it's exactly the same thing.
Yeah,
I mean, enticing in a mate and then doing it with your elbow blade.
But you know, the freedom and the peace of being able to swim is. I mean, I'm such a terrible swimmer. Don't like to put my head underwater. And having gills would be. I mean, it's the nearest you get to flying, isn't it?
No,
without flying.
Flying. John, can we take this a bit further? Because I'm intrigued. So if we're going to have gills, like, I was about to say we've all seen Waterworld, but nobody saw Waterworld.
Which is gills?
Well, very different film. But the thing is that his gills are hidden behind his ears. Would you be happy to have visible gills? Because for a body our size, you're going to need quite big gills. How do you feel about that?
I think they'd be better if they were retractable. If you can just kind of get them out when you're in water and then put them away when you're not.
So whenever you get beach body ready, you get your gills out. There could really be something to this. Not many people actually know what gills are, because the respiratory surface is the thing that you breathe through, right? If it folds inwards, we call it a lung. If it folds outwards, it's a gill. So there's plenty of creatures out there that do go, as you're suggesting, and have both of them. Like, if you look at axolotls have got both gills and lungs.
And a lot of them.
What's an axolotl?
It looks like Benedict Cumberbatch.
It does.
Imagine a tiny Benedict Cumberbatch, and that's an axolotl.
Okay.
It's Mexican, but now you're picturing it as being posh as well.
Yeah, it's wearing a suit.
It's the best dressed of all the amphibians. Yeah. It's a cuticular breather as well, so it can breathe through its skin too. That's a more common one. How would you feel about breathing through your skin instead? That's an alternative.
Yeah. He's seen Goldfinger. He's not going there.
Oh, for a point. All right, cool. We'll come back to you, Cam. You pick one, we'll take. Go
yeah,
to the
well, I want Matthew. Greg Sellers, sorry, just totally butchered your name.
Oh, he's handily right there.
To explain this one. It's simple, but I don't quite understand.
Oh, actually, hold on. I should just check. We've got our list there. So, adding to Foot Whales and the Travelator. What was your name, sir? John. John, we have gills. Gills for all. Okay, Matthew?
So I suggested having oxygen-producing hair.
Oxygen-producing hair?
Yeah.
What was your reasoning behind this?
Well, you know, with the... Like, there's a lot of need for more plants, but at the same time, if I had oxygen-producing hair, maybe I would have some more hair.
Cameron, both of you appear to be follically challenged, shall we say. So,
our panel is going to run out of oxygen pretty quickly.
Yeah. We're in trouble here.
We have deforested down here. Why did this attract you so much? What do you think goes to it?
I want to know more. Like, I want to know more about the thought process. Like, do you feel like hair just doesn't do enough, and therefore it needs to earn its keep? Like, is that what this is?
Yeah.
It's all right.
Because once again, there is a logical place to take this to. The natural world provides us inspiration again. So you all know sloths? Sloths grow algae in their hair, and they use it for camouflage. So it actually even changes seasonally. So whenever they need kind of brown camouflage, they farm the brown algae. They even eat it. Now, algae being a plant would mean that if you were happy to grow algae in your hair, you would have oxygen-producing hair. What do you think? Possibly slightly green and skanky as well, I should point out. You're willing to take one for the team? Would you be willing to take one for the team, Cam?
Green hair, you say?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not convinced. Not convinced. I mean, but I like the idea of it also being dinner, but then I'm just going to wind up back here. So that's the problem.
So the Ugly Animal Society thing that I run, the three-toed sloth was elected as the mascot for Bristol. And I think that might be because Bristol has got quite a few kind of crusty hippies who probably have got algae growing in their hair already anyway.
Right.
So they felt a kind of affinity to it in some way. What do you think, Danielle?
Well, it's a bit weird, isn't it? it's a noble cause, oxygen-producing hair. What's the rest of you like? Have you got a very hair, are you a hirsute chest? And how about further down? Is that are you a shaver or a saver?
Obviously a saver with this suggestion. Where does the algae stop?
I was going to say something awful then, and then I remembered it was being recorded. Just, you know, if you did produce oxygen and you were underwater and you had to do the buddy system, someone's tank's gone. Just saying. You've got a lot of hair down there.
If your gills are malfunctioning, don't worry.
I'm just wondering how flammable it makes you as well.
Oh, because you're producing, that's
because you're producing oxygen and you're kind of under the duvet and you kind of wake up and have a cigarette or something and you're...
Bang.
Yeah, well, if you're a lady and you use L nets, you're in the same situation.
If we're going to do the algae thing, though, we're also going to have light. That's important, but I hadn't thought of that. So we're going to have to spend more time outside to farm your particular follicle farming techniques.
I had green hair when I was 17, but it was an accident.
How was it an accident?
Well, because...
It was like Incredible Hulk level accident.
Yeah.
Gamma radiation.
I wanted a lovely blue streak in my hair, but because my hair's very dark, when they strip it out with the bleach, it went yellow, and then I put the blue on and it was green, and it was not attractive.
Maybe, can you explain this? Because you know why blue rinses exist? Like, what age do you hit? Like, you're a lady, you've turned 80, and you think, this is the time to go punk. Like, why does that happen?
It's about taking the tinniness out of the if you go blonde, you wash your hair with a violet shampoo
because it takes
the brassiness out of the hair, so it counteracts the brassiness. So that's what when old ladies use a purple rinse, it's actually a shampoo for blonde people, and it takes the brassy tones out of your hair, and it counteracts that.
Research done in the laboratoire, I think, got it.
I mean, I'm no scientist, but I do know about hair.
Cool.
Nick, what else grabbed you?
This is Shengzhan Zhao. Cool, do you want to read this out?
Do you want to take part?
Yep.
So you gave two, I've selected one for you.
My suggestion is that we can make the human in a smaller size, like in a micro level, so you don't need to worry about the resources anymore.
So you just want to make smaller humans so we take up less room and less resources. This is actually a brilliant idea for our growing population and planet. Yeah. Why did you pick this, Nick?
For that reason. It was just, it's kind of a cute vision of just make everything smaller.
How small are we talking, though?
Micro size. He did
that. Wow, okay.
Yeah, like tiny. Shrink everything down.
Like Ant-Man.
Yeah.
This is a question. How small can a human be? I've been wondering this, actually. Like, what's the smallest that we actually can be and biologically function as a human? Because you have a problem that the bigger you get, so the smaller you get, the more your muscles work proportional to their size, but you would get weaker,
right?
Like an automatic thing. So when people say about fleas, if they were the size of a human, they could jump the Empire State Building, that's just not true. Because as you get bigger, your weight of your muscles increases faster than the power output that comes with it.
Would you have everybody getting smaller, or just some unlucky people?
Yeah, because whoever takes this up is just asking for a fight. Like, if the rest of the... Whoever leads the way and is the pioneer...
Yeah, it's like, sure, we'll shrink ourselves. You go first.
Yeah. So you'd get a little flea circus. You shrink the clowns first, and then, you know... Somehow, there's a logical follow-up somewhere.
It's relatively easy, actually, as well, because like, nutrition is one of the first things that's created. So humans are getting taller and taller and taller at the moment, and it's because we've got good nutrition. Mm. Like, if you go back to the Norman era, because of the feudal system and things, people weren't eating as much and weren't anywhere near as big. So we could just malnourish everyone if you'd like that. Could we tessellate as well? Do you think that'd be a better idea? So we all fit in perfectly well. So smaller people.
Oh yeah, increasing density of human beings some way.
For ease of stacking.
Yeah. When the aliens, or when the AI takes over, they can just farm us a lot more easily if we tessellate and are small.
Okay. So
I'm not doing my career
people.
Any
favors. Sounds a little bleak.
All right. Thank you for those suggestions, everyone. Please give yourselves a massive round of applause. Now, before we review all the different ideas and we take a vote and let democracy do its thing and ruin the next 5 years, we're going to have a quick game. This is called Splice of Life. So, panel, I am going to share with you three animals. Danielle, would you do us a favour and actually describe them for our listeners at home?
Okay. So, well, if it's the thing that I don't know what it is?
I'll help. I'll do my best. First of all, we have a type of fly called Drosophila bifurca.
You want me to describe the fly?
You could say it looks like a fly.
It looks like a fly. It's got a tiny Jeff Goldblum head. It hasn't. That's in my sexy dreams. It's got a slightly stripy body, big eye. It's just like a fly, I mean.
Okay, is there anything that you guys would take from this? If you're going to, we're thinking splicing life. You can take genes, you can nick anything you want now. Is there any abilities?
Well, you'd take the wings, wouldn't you?
Actually,
surely everybody wants to be able to fly. It feels like it's like an unspoken given, this whole thing.
I would take quick reactions. I'm quite slow, but I'd like to be able to respond to the world a little quicker.
Flies have got things that go straight from their eyes to their muscles, so if you're trying to splat a fly, you have to do it very, very slowly. So it bypasses those reactions.
Being able to vomit on my enemies. Do flies do that, or is this still a... David Cronenberg film?
Do flies do it, or does Jeff Goldblum do it? That's what you're asking. Well, I can't speak for Jeff Goldblum, but I do think some flies do something. A lot of bugs, so true sucking blood bugs, will spit into their food and digest them from the inside out and slurp it up like a kind of innocent pre-digested smoothie.
So isn't that what centipedes do?
Yeah, a lot of them do. Active venoms. Okay, so you're going to take that. Right. You see, the reason I chose this... any suggestions, Cam? Anything you want from it?
There's a fruit fly, right? So...
Well, it's related,
ability
actually,
to find fruit anywhere.
The thing that makes this one different is that it's got the biggest sperm on its planet.
What?
So, I'd like to describe that to our audience, please, Daniel.
Oh, hang on. So that's the sperm going around it?
Yeah.
Okay.
It is 6 times the size of the fly. If this was a human, actually, if this was my sperm, to give you some scale, it would be 120 feet long.
Show off. right, so if you imagine you are the fly and you have quite a lot of those, you know, those strawberry bootlaces, at least 10 packs of that laid end to end in a circle around you with a big globby bit at the end.
The globby bit's because they give them to the females wrapped up, so they don't come that long.
Like a gift.
So to speak.
Well, yeah, it's using their own time. The real difference is that they... So guys produce maybe millions, you know, enough to fertilize every woman in North America. Don't try it, okay? Whereas these guys produce maybe 6 at a time.
Why does it look like that? Is the lady far away? Does the lady fly want to not be near the man fly and so he has to chuck it at her?
Yeah, maybe wrap her up.
It's like a lasso. Yeah.
Okay, we obviously don't want the sperm. All right, let's move on to another one. This is a slow loris. Oh. Nick, can you describe it to our audience at home?
It's like a small, cuddly thing, big eyes, big kind of long fingers and thumbs, cute little ears.
What would you take from a slow loris?
I would take probably...
The fact that it's adorable. That
yeah,
would be,
I think
that
was, I was trying
far.
To find a way of saying that, yeah. The fact that the whole audience went, oh, when it appeared. That never happens to
Yeah,
me.
They didn't just say, oh, when they walked in and saw us, did they?
No.
Have you all seen that YouTube video by any chance? Is that right? Yeah?
No.
Okay, there's a YouTube video of somebody tickling a slow loris. It's the cutest thing in the world. It's also horrible because it's prompted a massive exotic pet trade in them. Oh. And it's one of the few venomous mammals that has got poisonous elbows. So,
there we go. Yes, let's take that.
How does that work?
Screw the cuteness, let's take the elbows.
It licks its elbows and then it bites you, but it means that whenever they've been sold into the pet trade, they've been having their, it's called a tooth comb, removed and clipped out. It is horrible. Please, please never, ever buy a slow loris.
Okay. Does it have sticky fingers?
No, it doesn't.
What?
But...
Oh, yeah, that.
Our next choice, our final one, is a gecko. So, good way of bringing that up. What would you steal from this, Nick?
The ability to stick onto stuff, for sure.
Does anybody know anything more about these fingers, then? Because I think we're trying to emulate them for robots.
But I don't remember how they do it. I want to say static electricity, but I'm not sure.
Tiny hairs of Van de Waal forces is how they stick, isn't it?
Explain that to us, please.
It's because these hairs are so, so fine, and it's just the basic attraction between molecules, correct?
Yeah.
Yes. Good. I do remember that correctly. So what do we splice together then? What did we take from the fly again? Was it the vomiting?
It doesn't have to be the whole creature.
Or have we had to build a thing?
No, fair enough.
I thought we were going to go to the lab and actually build
it. It's pick and mix, but you pay for it. You know, go for it as much as you want.
I'd also want the slow loris's eyes, obviously. Definitely get cast in some live-action manga.
All right, then. So we're going to have to get cracking because it's the time that democracy works. I'm going to read out your suggestions, everyone, including the things that we might take from these animals. You're going to shout or not shout. That's how democracy really works, you know? And we'll see what you're going to go for. So first of all, glow-in-the-dark genitals.
Oh!
There was one lone voice. He isn't standing out. Okay, there was armadillo armor.
Yeah.
That was a pity vote, I'm sorry.
No, you're all, you know what, when someone comes at you with a gun, you're all going to wish you'd gone for it.
There was automated travel.
Yeah.
That's in the lead at the moment. There was the Swiss Army elbows. Oh, shall we modify that to with and with?
With poison. Poison.
With poison. Mikey? All right.
Poisonous Swiss Army elbows.
Poisonous Swiss Army elbows.
Sorry.
Why?
I think we made the point quite clear.
I think that's a, is that, oh, that's equal currently to automated travel. Unisex toilets everywhere? Yeah. Where is your ambition, people? We can do that. Okay, that's currently in the lead. There was magnetic feet.
Yeah.
I've just imagined you could do like a really cool sort of cross between moonwalking and Etch-a-Sketch with that, couldn't you? That would be really amazing. We had then the travelator with the fit wheel as another possible one from Daniel.
Oh man, I am tanking it there. Yes.
Okay, there was making all humans smaller.
Yeah.
Pervert. There was oxygen producing hair.
Even he didn't call for it.
And then we had gills for all. Okay, I think that's actually somewhere between being smaller, gills for all,
and unisex
toilets. So let's have a final. Unisex toilets? Gills for all?
Yeah!
Being smaller? Yeah. If you're smaller, it'll mean having gills is easier? Should we put those two things together? We're basically tadpoling ourselves. All right, you voted for it. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take that off to our boffins, who will not be able to do anything with it until technology sufficiently advances. We're working on it. But before we go, we have to say thank you, first of all, to our amazing panel. We've been joined by Daniel Ward, Cam Robinson, and Nick Hayes. Pause, sorry. And we have to thank the audience here at the Science Museum for being excellent. Thank you ever so much. We'll see you sometime next week. That was Level Up Human, hosted by Simon Watt, produced by Rachel Wheely, and supported by the Wellcome Trust. For more information, go to leveluphuman.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.